You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment.
And I need Haunted City for my bunghole.
Hi, welcome to Haunted City.
Oh,
where every week I try to. Every week I try to open by shocking or disappointing.
Back to one, everyone. Can I just tell to peek behind the curtain for the listeners or viewers at home? Now there's a siren, but in order to get the audio fidelity to that crisp and beautiful level of richness that the Glass Cannon audience has come to expect, we start these recordings with 15 to 20 seconds of silence, and then Jared goes into his opening. So to go from like zero, from total silence, us just sort of staring attentively at our screens, watching Jared wind up, to him going full cornholio.
Oh my gosh.
Full cornholio. And I would have put my shirt over my head, but I've got these earbuds. Excuse me.
God, and we're falling apart.
I'm still getting over a cough.
Jesus Christ, man. That was...
My God. Let's just start the whole thing over. Okay, ready? Take two.
No, I don't want to see it again.
I am the Rick Cornholio, and I need Haunted City for my bunghole. What's up? Welcome to Haunted City. My name is Jared Logan, and I have Abu Salim, Ross Bryant, and Josephine McAdam with me here, and we are going to play some Blades in the Dark, the incredible game by John Harper and Evil Hat. Thank you, John Harper. Thank you, Evil Hat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sean Nittner.
Thanks,
and other
John.
People. So we have been having an incredible game, but more important than that is my opinion on what's been going on politically in the country. And so for the next 10 minutes, I thought I would just outline some of my opinions on the, Supreme Court abortion ruling. What?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
This is also, okay, if we would continue to peel back the curtains, that Jared listens to the things that bother us the most that we talk about off air.
He's like,
let me just use that and poke at them. Make them squirm.
Oh.
Now. I just think it's funny for someone who's about to roleplay a steampunk city of magic and ghosts to start off with 10 minutes of political opinions.
Sincere political opinions, yeah.
Personally, I only listen to podcasts where men in their 50s discuss movies from the 70s. So the last thing I ever want in a podcast is for me to tell me anything that is relevant to the news or politics whatsoever.
Yeah. And political podcasts are definitely not my forte, even though I do occasionally listen to them and I'm infuriated by many of them. It's more often my favorite genre of podcast is like driest and person with the least performative affect on their voice possible dryly talks to you about history for 9 hours.
I love those too. Yeah. And the BBC produces so many good podcasts that are about history. Mm-hmm. And they'll always be like, a sword was found in a hill. More on that now. And then they'll just talk to you. They found a piece of an old sword in a hill, and they'll just talk to you about it for an hour. It's
what kind of fucking news channel are you watching, bro?
It's not a news channel, Abu. I'm sorry for mocking your people, but it's a I enjoy this is what I'm saying. is BBC Radio does like history podcasts. I have several of them here. And they basically will like talk about like a recent archaeological find, or they'll talk about wars that you forgot were a thing, you know. You know, Henry VIII, what kind of, where did his clothes come from? Who was his tailor? Like, let me see here.
Yeah. And if that's too rich for your blood, there's even, there's a whole other genre of like American guys who are, it's where you just, where it is fully just them, like, when the Emperor Tiberius retired to his island fastness in Capri, the organs of state continued to move. While Tiberius remained unpopular, the empire stayed strong. Like for more,
wow,
right?
Just for hours and hours and hours, and I'm like, gimme, more, drier, slower.
It makes total sense to me that you listen to these, Ross. I love them. You know, I miss, you know, the, I miss the intros that you used to always be reading a book.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you not reading books anymore, Ross?
Yeah, I'm listening to podcasts.
Behind the curtain, I never was. I'm illiterate as hell. No. I'm reading all kinds of books. I'm reading essays about Midsummer Night's Dream for pleasure.
Oh wow, damn.
Wouldn't you like to know what G.K. Chesterton thinks of Midsummer Night's Dream? The answer may surprise you.
Super dork. Wait, who's the biggest super dork here? Is it Ross, who reads essays about Midsummer Night's Dream for fun? Is it Abu, who listens to video game music as music? Is it Josephine, who practices martial arts, which I think we can all agree is one of the nerdiest things you can do?
Mm-hmm. In addition to playing classical piano.
Okay, touche.
Or is it Jared, who's always a little bit sick and doing a cornholio impression?
I mean,
yeah.
Need you say more?
These are all the kids that got picked on.
Yeah. These are all unique and beautiful colors in the rainbow of dorkery.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it's me. I think I'm the biggest nerd. I think you're all just off of the, like, you all have the charm factor. You're very good at socializing with people in the outside world, and I'm really bad in the outside world. I'm just adding to your theory, Abu, aren't I? But
you're not human, man. You are definitely alien. Like, you are alien through and through. Like,
you guys aren't nerdy enough to not be good at speaking to people, is what I'm saying. I've seen you all around others.
I'm just saying.
I've observed your interactions, and
you see that? You see that? She didn't even fucking blink.
That's right,
an alien.
You can sometimes catch Josephine in conversation. Who's like, okay, play it cool, Joe. What would a human do? I kid, of course. Josephine is incredibly charming, both on screen and off.
I said, who was the nerdiest, not who has a personality disorder, but
yeah, this is coming from the guy who hit us with cornholio out of nowhere.
Well, listen, it's true, Josephine. If we're talking about sheer charisma, me and Abu and Ross have it in yards and reams.
Yeah.
Whereas you are trailing far behind, trying to keep up. But, you know, keep learning from the greats.
That's what I'm doing.
You're
I'm
in a master class right in charisma right here, baby.
I didn't even have to pay for it.
No, that's right. Speaking of master classes in charisma.
Go on.
1,000 years ago, this was a land of beauty and magic. Then came the cataclysm that blotted out the sun and ripped open the gates to the land of the dead. The city of Irondale is a metropolis of tenements and factories on the edge of a wild frontier. Inside the city, wait, outside the city is I have to start from the beginning. 1,000 years ago.
What happened 1,000 years ago?
We're laughing so much in these last two episodes that I feel like if I was a listener, I'd be like, okay, fuck you guys, though. Play the game now.
I know. When people laugh too much on podcasts, I also want to throw my phone across the room. So I apologize.
I want to apologize to the Naish, and now I'm going to do it for real. 1,000 years ago, this was a land of beauty and magic. Then came the cataclysm that blotted out the sun and ripped open the gates to the land of the dead. The city of Irondale is a metropolis of tenements and factories surrounded by crackling lightning barriers. Outside the city is a wild frontier of ghosts and undead. Inside the city is a teeming hive of scum and villainy, intrigue and corruption. Life is cheap in a city ruled by death. The sun is gone. The only thing that shines in Irondale are the blades in the dark.
That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Sober, clear, straightforward, mirth-free. No bits allowed.
I know that we are, like, past the banter stage.
Yeah, no, it's okay. We can just banter the whole show.
Well, Abu, are you trying to grow out your mustache?
No.
What's happening
what
over
the
here
fuck?
Now?
What are you talking about, man? What? No.
Josephine,
that is a weird thing to come in with.
She's a fucking alien, like, bro. Why are we working like this? I'm not even kidding. It's like, how many episodes in, man?
Abu just does it. He doesn't have to try and make a big deal out of it like me, who will turn it into a multi-episode arc.
I see a little shadow, and I know that we all completely forgot the bet that was going, and so I was curious if you had suddenly remembered.
I actually can't, because the job that I'm in doesn't allow me to grow any hair. Okay. So, but thanks for highlighting my mustache in front of everyone while I'm sweating in my office. So, cheers, Josephine.
It's very funny to me that I was having trouble getting through the intro. And Ross and I were like, man, sometimes, you know, as a listener, you just want them to get on with it. And then Josephine's like, one more thing. Abu, are you growing out your mustache?
Honestly.
Let us return to the
steel
hoof.
Glad we doubled back for it.
Let us return to the steel hoof in the city of Irondale. Steel hoof just outside the protected quarter of Irondale in the dusty, muddy streets. Where the only thing that saves you from the ghosts are the nomadic Severosi horsemen who kind of patrol and trot about, keeping an eye out for roving spirits. And here, where the creaking wagons kind of, you know, slog by, you'll find the steel hoof. Inside, it has sort of a almost Casablanca type look. There are fans circulating the hot air. Abu can relate because he says it's very hot where he is right now. There are betting tables and perhaps a piano set up somewhere nearby with someone playing a jaunty tune, an imperial tune. And our crew, the Remnant, Alden Sykes, Valkos, and Julia Bell-Rose, they need their next score, or they need to figure out what they're going to do next. So I'm opening it up to free play right now. And through that, you can find your next score. So what do you think, where do you think you guys are with each other, and where do you think, what do you think you would do next?
Well, I feel like we've our dealings with the local Imperial military, which we just worked for, left kind of a bitter taste in the mouth. Might steer clear of them for a while unless they come calling, but it seems like we should maybe seek our next job outside of official channels.
We need something lucrative. Something that will... Look, there is, you know, strife in Duskfall, and that is sure to spread outwards. I think we are starting to see it. In this tumultuous time, it is the perfect opportunity for us to rise in our own strength as a crew. But in order to do that, we will need the funds. So are there any higher class, higher paying folks in this town that you know of, Alden, that might pay us for services, whether it is escort or spying, you know, infiltrating something, getting information for someone else, the likes? That might be helpful. But high paying clients, please.
Well, clients that would have larger coffers. We're speaking, of course, of like the Imperial forces that we've only of late worked with. But then, of course, there's a merchant class here. Mm. Folks who've come to make their fortune selling material and building and designing the work and infrastructure of the rails that go through the interior to farms and mines that are out there. The other towns on the Severos Isle. And there are, and of course the interior is a patchwork of smaller nations, tribal confederations, war bands, nomads, more complex than even the Empire can grasp on any of their maps or censuses.
Perhaps you know of competing merchants, then, that would have it out for one another.
There are stevedores that work on the docks, unloading ships from Duskvall and the other port cities. There are merchants transporting goods from the interior out. Of course, these they work in collaboration at times with the Empire. But now that things are teetering, as you say, as the Empire's grip is loosening, I suppose these different merchant houses that were working under the mandate of the nobility are now breaking up into competing factions. So now perhaps may be a time to play one side against the other.
Yes, perhaps you can get an ear out in that milieu and see if there is anything that we could help with.
Very well.
Turn the tides.
I'll ask around and see if there's anything in the way of corporate espionage that merchants might need people of our particular set of skills to go about. So that's a pitch.
Yeah, that's a pitch.
The idea being that, yeah, if it's there, that there's lots of there's folks come here to make their fortunes, and if there's like a wealthy merchants, builders, rail barons, shipping barons, and while probably most of those had imperial contracts in this time, perhaps they're trying to like consolidate their own power and work against each other somewhat.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Maybe we can pick the, if there's like these two competing merchants or whatever, pick the lesser of two evils help tip the scales, like help them get ahead on their competitors.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. Why don't you do an action that allows you to sort of talk to or find out, you know, who the rival sort of merchant houses would be that are trying to make a fortune out here and what they might need.
Great. I'll do a consort and the Steel Hoof is a rough and ready place where folks from all classes mix and mingle, but maybe I can go to a more high class imperial merchant establishment where I might be able to pick up some of that information.
Okay. So, yeah, you're leaving the Steel Hoof to find a better place to find, you know, out this kind of information. And go ahead and give me that consort roll.
Ooh, I rolled a 6.
Ooh. Oh,
that's very well done. There is a lot of talk about this civil war and how it's going to affect business in general. People are very concerned because, you know, the whole logistics of, like, shipping things back and forth from Acheros and the other parts of the empire has become really kind of scary and difficult with now there's news of Leviathan hunters kind of all out in the water all over the place and how they might be blockading Acheros. So that is very scary, and there are a lot of people that deal with those kind of logistics who are very worried about their business. People who sort of mainly make their money here on Severos include, as you said, people that go out into like mines out in the frontier where they've found mineral deposits. And there is a company like that, known as the Wynn Company. The man who runs it is named Park Wynn. Great. And Park Wynn was a noble, actually, and has been arrested.
Oh, my.
By the Imperial military. So the company is currently being run by his non-noble-born assistant, whose name is James Marr. Park Wynn and James Marr. And, you think that there might be an opportunity there because they were sort of an up-and-coming company, and they do a lot of their business just here on Severos. And if you can get like a meeting with them, you might be able to find out something that they need done.
Okay, great. So perhaps I can meet with What's happened to Mr. Wynn, but perhaps if I could have a meeting with his deputy, now overlord of the Wynn Company, Mr. Marr, then that seems like an angle that we might be able to play for a no small amount of coin.
Your roll was a 6, right?
That's right.
Well, then why don't you just take
just go there.
The... Yeah, just go there, but do you want to bring the rest of the remnant?
always a dicey proposition.
When you were saying that, I was going to say, well, worst case, since the leader is not at the company, if they do not want to work with us, we could simply steal from them.
It's like, yes, I suppose that's always an option. But yeah, I think I will bring them because it's nice for our potential clients to see just how intelligent and strong.
And there is no tension whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. We present a united front. So yeah, let's see if we can have a meeting with Mr. James Marr.
James Marr. And so you are given a meeting, and the request is to meet you at the Steel Hoof.
Great. All the better. Then yeah, let's go. Let's have maybe there's a little private room, like a VIP area that we can retire to.
Very good. James Marr enters. He is a younger man, maybe like 30 at the oldest. He is completely shaved head has a pretty impressive mustache. He wears fine clothes. And he walks in and he says, am I correct that I am speaking to the Remnant?
Just so. Please, have a seat.
Thank you.
The amenities of the Steel Hoof are at your disposal. Please try this particular vintage. It's distilled from rice and cereal grains grown on the western coast of Severos. Sweeter than the mushroom distillments that you'll often find here.
Thank you.
So, you've met the Remnant. I hear that you're in a very, through a series of rather unfortunate circumstances, you found yourself in a position of leadership. I'm curious if there's any way that we can be of use to you, aside from providing you with stiff beverages.
Well, the company, it really is Mr. Wynn's creation. He really has the leadership that the company needs. It's just so tragic that we should be without him at such a crucial juncture in our economic development. It would be so beneficent if Mr. Wynn were somehow to find his way out of Imperial custody. Now, should he somehow no longer be under control of the Imperial authorities, I believe he would probably take a more silent role in the company. Maybe permanently, or for a long time in the foreseeable future. But, I believe that we need his leadership. Why, we'd pay 8 coin to have him back with us. Unfortunately, that probably just isn't possible. The charges, although kept secret from me and my board, seem quite severe. And then he goes, this is good.
Yes. As for its possibility, Mr. Ma, I think you'll find that in Severos, many things are possible that seem impossible back in the Metropole. What is the, please allow me to, what is the facility where the unfortunate Mr. Wynn is being held?
Well, I believe you're familiar with it, Mr. Sykes. You see, I like to do some research and analysis, myself. It's sort of my role at the company, and so I did learn about your establishment and the people that frequent it, and so I know that you have had some dealings with the Imperial military.
Yes, indeed.
Perhaps there is even a perhaps it would be so amazing if our leader, if our company head could come back to us through means that were amicably agreed upon by all parties involved.
Yes,
unfortunately,
indeed.
I am not the man to broker that deal. But perhaps a go-between would have more luck with that. Ah, but probably none of this is to be.
Don't be too hasty in casting a pall over these thoughts of yours. I think that, as I said, here, with the right friends, all things are possible. Please allow me to confer with my associates. And having heard all that, I guess we'll be like, okay, so it seems as though it'd be the first time I've been approached by a merchant to orchestrate a prison break.
You think you can talk him out? It's not my style.
That, I think, would be very difficult indeed. My last little conference with the military, you provided me, I think, with my most important piece of leverage. I scarcely think that I'd be able to enter into those environments without a thorough search of my person again. But
they would want something in place or in return. What that is, is the answer.
An exchange, you're saying. If we could give them something or someone else, then we could do an exchange of prisoners, and there'd be no bloodshed or unfortunate explosions.
Exactly.
Let me step in just for a second as the GM and say, you can now, if you'd like, free play a little bit and figure out what that might be.
Great. Let's do that. I like this this score, unless people are like...
Yeah. No, I like it too.
Yeah, yes, let's learn a little bit about what's going on.
A record somewhere of who is wanted, bounties on certain heads. We could bring them, someone else as bartering.
There are right at that Imperial military base that you've been to. Now, Valkos and our friend Alden have been to. Outside on the wall near where they execute people, because guys, there's a yard where they just execute people. There is just like taped to the wall wanted posters.
Okay.
Of all kinds of individuals. At one point, Fabio Boltzmann was on there, you know? In fact, there's still an old one of Fabio Boltzmann, and they've just added a bunch of nobles who were known to have been in Severos, you know, up to a couple of weeks ago. So you can definitely look at that wall and see if there is a bounty.
And what are the charges that are put up against Mr. Wynn here?
The charges have been kept secret from us, but I assume they are charging him with insurrection. Because, as you know, the nobility of Acheros are in full insurrection. However, I can tell you that Mr. Wynn, he's not interested in the pursuits of the nobility. He is a capitalist. He seeks to make his own way to create new commerce.
Are they false accusations?
Mr. Wynn is loyal to the almighty dollar, madam.
Understood.
Mr. Wynn... Yes.
Getting well.
And in that vein, you seem to have been doing very successfully for yourselves.
Yes, we have some mines on the west coast here.
We will figure out how to aid your situation for 10 coin.
Ha!
And as she says that, my hand delicately is placed just behind his head, just underneath the nape of his head.
Alden.
It is an expense to help the flourishment of your business, no?
As I stroke his ear.
Delicately. As you say, in Severos, while the immortal emperor at his great distance shines his light on us, all of us are worshippers of a different sort of the almighty coin. And so, he would not hold it against us if we did not negotiate.
I believe that the company... Why, we'd pay almost anything to get Mr. Wynn back. We could easily pay 9 coin, in fact. I said 8 earlier, but I meant 9.
Excellent. I'll just get that in writing, and I think that's casting sharp glances at the widow and Valkos. I think that sounds more than fair. Pleasure negotiating with you, and with that writ, we'll be about our business.
I'm sorry, nothing in writing, sir. I was, of course, you and I were just talking about things that cannot be. Wishes, whims. We were talking hypothetically.
Right, but we will all remember the details. Isn't that right?
I shan't think I'll be forgetting this conversation anytime soon, madam.
Good. I tap the back of his head very delicately.
Very good well. Man. I see then that we're just speaking of airy nothings, hypothetical imaginings. And this isn't the sort of business that's done with a contract, but rather... a handshake,
And I do hope, Mr. Ma, as I nod to Valkos to shake his hand, just what sort of hands you're shaking.
And, hand to him.
I thank you for your hospitality. That truly was a delicious drink.
Our doors are always open to you, sir.
Well, I will recommend the Steel Hoof to my colleagues. Good day to you all.
Great. Let's learn some more about...
To work, yeah.
To work.
I love it.
Just before we leave, I go to Juliet. I'm like, that was beautiful.
Incredible. And she smiles at you for like the first time in the last week.
Yes.
It's good.
Okay. So you are now, if I'm not mistaken, looking for...
Yeah.
Maybe a way to exchange. You know, we could just move into the approach and the detail. And the detail could be possibly what the... well, no, why don't you go ahead and explore a little more? That's fine. It seems like that's what people want to do.
I think, yeah, sure. I think what would be quite nice is if we paid the visit to the good old captain and tried to figure out who he would deem...
the captain or the
asset.
Peach Fuzz lieutenant?
Yeah, because it would feel weird just being like, hey, we got this guy. Let's do a swaparoo.
Yeah. Peach Fuzz lieutenant has stuff to prove, though, right? Like, if he got to bring someone in.
Yeah,
right,
well, this is it, right? Yeah.
We can offer him an opportunity to burnish his reputation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. These guys have developed so much, we should start giving them names, shouldn't we? And if I gave them a name before and I've forgotten it, you should forget it too, listener.
Yes, yes.
Forget, because I'm going to say that our friend, the lieutenant, is Lieutenant Sylvester.
Right. Lieutenant Peach Fuzz is Sylvester.
I know. Peach Fuzz is easy to remember, too.
Yes. Well, maybe his fellow officers call him Fuzz.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Fuzz. Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's.
You catch him in the Steel Hoof because they like to come here.
Of course,
some of them.
And
you let them have the private room, the officers.
Oh, absolutely.
They're officers.
Butter them up.
And you hear them calling him Fuzz. Look here, Fuzz, have another one.
Great. And maybe I can see how that rankles him. And So yeah, I want to maybe overly spell it out just so that we're all on the same page. Because the goal, our sort of plan is its plan, or the idea is it's coalescing, is that we would catch a criminal that has eluded the military police, give the lieutenant the opportunity to bring them
in exchange,
he will free
Park
Nguyen and give him to us.
That's exactly
like we'll bring him someone more valuable that'll also make him look good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Great. All right.
Mr. Sykes. Hello.
Hello. Hope you're finding our amenities to your liking.
We are, yes. Thank you.
Well, my perambulations today took me past your August... public building, could not help but notice all the nobles currently in open rebellion against our emperor who have given you the slip.
Well, no, I believe we've caught most of them, actually.
Hmm.
Yes, so just rounding up the remnants.
Yes, the remnants are always the most stubborn. The most tenacious. I'm just curious out of conversation. Is there one in particular that has been giving you special frustration?
So behind
this
him,
slipperiness.
Behind him, his friends have become quite drunk, mm-hmm. and you hear one of them go, "And the damn burner can go back to hell." And he says, "Hey, shh, quiet." A noble that's given us the slip, sir?
Yes, the burner, for example.
Make an action roll.
Great. I will try to sway him to keep talking.
Very good.
Five.
Yes. Something has been, or someone has been, murdering people inside of Irondale, burning them with some sort of magic, and while it's priority one right now, because it just got a couple of our men.
Really?
Yes. And it's very concerning with this rebellion going on that perhaps the enemy may have some sort of weapon it's released into our midst.
And I will... Yes, of course, in chaotic times like this, it's most important for your authorities to put on a united front. Very bad optics, I must say, if there's magical chaos at large on the streets of Irondale. I suppose whoever brought in this, magical effect or brought it to appropriate justice would, burnish their reputation quite brightly.
Yes, they might. They would be doing a great service to the Empire.
Well, of course you have your official channels to work through. But if, leaning closer for whispering, if unofficial channels were brought to bear, then perhaps you could work twice as efficiently.
Perhaps.
Now, these unofficial channels would not be so gross or classless to ask for any sort of financial reward. However, favors demand recompense.
Forgive me, Mr. Sykes. I am a forthright man. And I believe in forthrightness. And I am also a little drunk. And I'm having trouble following your conversation. What is it that you would like in return for delivering this malicious threat to us?
In order for this magical murderer to be brought in by yourself, all I would ask is for the disappearance from your prison of another of its, of one of its current tenants, someone who poses no public threat to the people of Irondale, one Mr. Park Wynn by name.
He is being very closely guarded.
Yes, well.
He was a very, very high priority target when we were rounding up the nobility.
Well, I should hope that that you also are not so blinded by his high priority that you fail to see a greater, dare I say, burning priority currently walking abroad on the streets of Irondale. Could not an exchange be made?
The thing that I brought in would have to be clearly the source of these murders, beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yes, of course. And Mr. Wynn, of course, would not... unless perhaps he could simply disappear. Or, if you prefer an official exchange, perhaps that could be done as well.
I think disappearance might be... I think disappearance might be better.
Sometimes these things just happen, and the public need never know.
Sir?
Sir?
I am choosing for the lesser of two evils.
These are the hard decisions that authority often forces on one.
How do we seal this contract? A handshake?
Yes, indeed.
And we close and shake on it. And so I think we've made our contact.
And when we come back, we'll see the mission.
Great. Oh, boy.
We'll be right back.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Welcome back. We have just determined what our score will be. The Remnant must hunt down what is probably a demonic presence inside the city of Irondale, capture it, deliver it to Lieutenant Sylvester so that he can be the one to take credit for its capture. And in exchange, he will arrange for the very under the radar release of Park Wynn.
Great.
So, shall we go right into the score? Let's decide what will the plan be. Will the plan be the assault? Will it be deception? Will it be... This is interesting. It's a hunted
capture. We are getting something in exchange for them, no?
Yeah.
When we make the exchange, we give the entity to Sylvester. He will arrange for the release of Wynn, and when Wynn returns to James Marr, we get 9 coin.
Yes, but he is going to release him? I thought he said it was going to... Oh, okay, he's just going to make it look like they slipped out.
Make it look like he disappeared, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's what not is this be, threat that we're getting?
You offered an official exchange even the captain would official. Be in on it and everything. Okay. It won't be official.
Yeah.
And the threat that we're getting is...
Whatever has been killing people and burning them, the burner, which was also foreshadowed at the end of the last episode.
Right. Okay.
If you recall.
I recall.
If your choices are assault, deception, stealth, occult, social, and transport. I can tell Josephine is like, I need to gather information. But guess what? We're in it now. We're in it. Okay.
All right.
You are hunting down something that is killing people and burning them in the streets of Irondale.
Would we have deduced that it is technically some form of magic? Well, he says magic power, so maybe we go occult.
Occult seems like... We're clearly... he's already tipped us magic.
What's the arcane power we're using?
And I don't know. I don't know if you've been forthcoming about what you experienced on the Corsair, Valkos.
Mm. Oh,
but it sounds like the demon that burst forth from...
Yeah, Aaron. I was going to say, would that have something to... Would it have affected me,
GM? I think it created trauma in you in a weird way or something at the time. You probably are only now just remembering it, right?
Okay.
Like, it's coming to you in a cloudy way. But do you remember what it looked like? Maybe now you're seeing images of it. You know, it was like, it was quadrupedal.
Yeah.
And muscular and covered in flame.
And like a dog. And
yeah, it had a canine type head, but it released these pseudopods of fire that entered your skull.
I was able to see it as well, right? From like, because it wasn't just Valkos that saw. Okay,
so would I then almost with the fact that, again, this is why I'm saying it's a cult, being in, you know, in touch with the spirits and in tune with them, I'd probably aim to try and summon it,
bring it forth,
and bring it.
And there's
forth.
Also
bring
it like, and we've made contacts with various whispery. Shamanistic elements.
Yes, we have.
That might be able to aid us.
Yeah.
This all sounds interesting. Yeah.
So we're trying to lure it to us.
Absolutely. We're hunting.
Let's lure it into a trap. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. So
Valkos is the bait.
We're going occult, and the arcane method is what exactly? I want a little bit more detail on it.
Well, we could. Could we I think the arcane method is, oh fuck, probably like a ritual summoning,
yeah. Right? Ritual summoning of the demon. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We're, great. So, uh-huh. Here's how it's gonna go. We'll do the engagement, and the engagement will determine, you know, you end up in a controlled, risky, or desperate position. If you are in a desperate position, you're doing this just the three of you who know not a lot about occult practices, you know, mm-hmm. attunement. But if you are in a controlled position, it means you have a lot of help from those allies that you mentioned before.
Great.
Okay. So let's see. Engagement roll. You get one die automatically.
But you also get another die for the name.
For the name?
Yeah, because I know the name.
Absolutely.
You know the demon's name because he summoned it with it.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we get a die for not being able to gather information beforehand?
No, you don't. You don't. Sometimes the game just has to go on. If I let Josephine do what she wanted, there would be 9 gather information rolls.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Look, it's not my fault that I specifically have an ability that gives me +1 die to gather info about the supernatural.
Oh, you do?
Let her have
it. All right. Do your deal. I don't want to make your power not matter. Go ahead and do 1 gather information.
Oh, you want me? No, I would exchange it if you just want to add a die to this.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Cool.
That is like fair.
That seems right.
That's cool. Yep.
That's fair. Okay. And then I'm just going to see if there's any reason to take away the die. There's one thing you don't know that I think takes away a die.
Okay.
That leaves you with 2 die. Okay?
Okay.
1-3, desperate. 4-5, risky. 6, or crit. You are in a controlled position. That's a 6. You're in a controlled position.
Thank you. Oof. Somebody gathered some information.
Not only do you have Gritchen the Whisper with you when you're about to conduct this ritual, Valkos, you also have a presence sort of hovering near you in the ghost field.
Okay.
And you've brought them somewhere. Where have you brought them?
To the tree.
The tree right outside of town.
You've been communing with the ghostly shaman.
Yeah.
Yes. What happens now is that Gritchen has a ritual for this. Being a whisper, that's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
But before she starts to like trace something on the ground, and you hear a voice in your whispering in your ear, Valkos, go, "She is going to do it that way."
Well,
and then as she starts, she suddenly stops and she looks back at Alden Sykes and says, "And I'm getting a cut, right?"
I mean, seems only fair.
It does seem fair. And you said you're getting 6 coin, right?
That's right. So I think 1 coin makes it, is... Looking around here, 3, 4. Yes.
But I'm the only whisper.
I as she says that, in my mind, I'm like, well, how would you do it then?
There are old ways. Would you like me to show them to you?
Show me.
And he enters your body. And you and he are both standing in the tree by yourselves, but the sky looks different. And he says, "You sing it a song. and you use its name, and you use an old bone to make the music.
Would the Whisperer be holding a bone, making the drawing? Would I be able to take the bone from her? As she says, but I'm the only Whisperer, and I kind of take it from her delicately, and I start beating the tree. And I and just as I take it, I'm like, one coin. And then I just start beating the tree and start singing.
Have we ever seen Valkos possessed?
I mean, I'm always possessed.
Fair, yeah, I know. But actually inhabited.
I think, I'm just generally in it. Like, you
can
hear me.
That's just me. I'm just always possessed. Guilty.
Okay, so we're at this tree. Is that where we're at? We're like outside?
Yeah. Seems that way, or at least I am.
Yeah. Yes. So it just to set the scene clearly, it's kind of up on a hill, kind of overlooking Irondale. It's an old, gnarled kind of tree. You know, most trees are destroyed or don't exist anymore. This one's like almost like petrified. And right now, Valkos is singing a song and banging a bone. And you've never really seen him do this kind of ritual before, but you can assume that it is what it is, which is something old and Severosi. Meanwhile, Gritchen, the Dagger Isles Whisperer, is scrawling something that looks very different. It looks like something off of a tarot card onto the ground. And then she is going into a big case she has, and she pulls out a mask that looks like...
It's a mask.
Yeah, it looks like... I think last time it looked like a baby's face or something like that. This time it looks like a rabbit.
Cool.
With weird eyes on the sides of the mask. Pardon. And she puts it on. And last time, she made her voice changed when she puts it on. And this time it changes again. And she's like, We summon
the Degathos.
And in the background you hear, Degathos again.
Alden is feeling this in his heart and is like instantly transported back to the spirit well. It's like the rhythm.
I think 100% for the first time ever, Julian has no fucking idea what to do. She's like, what is happening?
What the fuck?
So, I think that it makes sense for Valkos, who seems to be really one of the key figures in the summoning itself, to make an action roll.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you what this action roll is. You're in a controlled situation, meaning you set up everything up on your own, right? You know your perimeter. You can see from every angle, but this roll is going to determine if and how this thing comes to you, whether it comes in an unexpected or dangerous way. Okay, Valkos. So, what action roll would you like to use?
It would be a tune, wouldn't it?
A tune makes the most sense.
Now, would I get any aid for this? Because I've got, obviously, the Whisperer by me.
Yeah, the Whisperer, and you've got your friends. But the way aid works in Blades in the Dark is your friends have to take stress, and then you get dice.
Okay.
So do your friends want to do that?
Sure. The assistance is two stress or one?
I believe it's just one.
Oh. Yes. Right. Yeah, it's pushing ourselves. It's two. Yeah, I think aiding is one. I just don't know how I would aid if I would.
I guess I'm aiding via...
Juliet is saying no. Oh, I also want to do this. What is everybody's loadout?
Oh, yeah. Heavy.
Mine's heavy.
Yeah, same. Heavy.
We're out here, like, doing
everybody's
this.
Heavy. That makes total sense. And then...
If Valkos says to dance, she'll dance, if this is going to help.
Yeah,
I am assisting also, for sure. I brought Gritchen here, so I might be kind of even though I'm getting caught up in the rhythm of it, I might be kind of joining my voice to Gritchen's chanting.
Juliet, remember that you take negative one die to things that would be affected by your blown up harm.
Yeah.
That's not, I know that's a sad state of affairs, but I'm just telling you to be careful.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to take one stress though, and I will dance as part of this.
Okay. And I'm going to push myself. So that's three extra die.
Wow.
So I'll take two stress there. Okay.
Okay.
Five.
Oh, wow. Out of all those days, five was all you got?
I know.
Still.
Success with a consequence, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is a success with a consequence.
Can't wait to learn what that is.
So the success is that the thing, you see it far away, down in the city at first. You just see those alleyways lighting up with an orange glow. And then you see it just blatantly walk out under the high grass, and you see bits of the high grass just start to ignite. It's leaving a little trail of fire. And then way down there, you see one of those Severosi guardsmen that kind of patrol the perimeter of Irondale happen upon it.
Hey! Hi there! What?
And then you see tendrils of flame go up into him. This is all happening way far away, widescreen in front of you. And then he is pulled off the horse into the high grass, and you just see kind of fire smoldering there for a while. But then the light continues to move towards you, And the consequence is going to be that I need everyone to take a level one harm, frightened.
Damn, okay.
That they can resist.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to resist it. Screw that.
Same.
Yeah, I'm gonna resist. You know, I've got that ghost mind. I'm always aware of supernatural entities. Like, that would help.
Remind me, you only get less effect on your rolls if both quadrants of
either, because you could have like a also. You could have like a physical problem and like a mental problem.
Gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
So, let's see. I think that resolve must be used to.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. Three. So I got three stress.
Oh. Amazing.
Roll the six.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Two stress.
What's amazing is Juliet Bellrose had one die.
But I know, man.
She rolled a six.
Honestly.
So, Juliet, I don't know why, but you're just like, fuck this thing. I'm not afraid of it. But Valkos, maybe it's because you're in the throes of this ritual and you're attuning to the thing, right? And it's already touched you once. It's already burnt your soul once. And it's coming again, okay? And Alden, I mean, it's just scary watching
that. It's scary. And I'm trying to join my voice with the fate, with the song of the rabbit masked Gritchen. It's like, we summon thee.
Yes, and she's saying things like, wrong tongue tani, wrong tongue tops.
And I can feel
sing a song of DK, sing a song of rot.
Amazing. And, so sweet.
Can I begin doing something? I would love to use arcane implements off of my loadout and using the pouch of black salt and start sort of making a perimeter of this black salt. I'm not going to close it in where we are, but just sort of like a half circle right now.
Okay, what does black salt do?
So my assumption is because a black salt bomb covers a small room and keeps ghosts from exiting or entering, like keeps things in or out. I'm assuming that the black salt powder does the same thing, but I'm just taking the time to make a circle with it.
Oh, right. So they're doing first. They're doing all this whisper magic-y shit, mm-hmm. and you're like, I'm just going to use this alchemical that we all know works against ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got science and spirituality working in concert.
Also, yeah. there might be some people that are like, whoa, Valkost rolled a consequence and you gave everyone harm? And yeah, dude, yeah. I'm fucking crazy, man.
Man, you don't give a fuck, man.
I don't care, dude. I'm out there.
He's fucking on one. So,
okay, while I see this thing coming, I think I talk to the spirit and they can feel my fear. So what is their reply? What is their sort of reaction to the fear that is kind of slowly creeping in my body, even though I'm not frightened fully?
The fear is natural. The fear is smart. The fear is survival. Do not fight your fear. Use it. Embrace it.
And you just see me just turn to the demon, and I just start screaming and wailing and wagging my bone, like kind of almost like, and then start barking at it, like, and like sort of just fucking losing my mind.
Yeah, it's quite a scene now with Gretchen going, wrong tongue, Tommy, you know, in her rabbit mask, and Valko's barking and banging his bone. But the thing finally comes out of the tall grass up the hill and is now standing right outside the circle that Gretchen has made. And it is horrible to look upon because its face sort of unfolds, you know, to release those tendrils. And inside its mouth, you can see four eyes that kind of are independent of each other. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. they look in different directions and move at different times. So with like a dog that opens its mouth and has like a spider inside poking its head out. And also all of that is sort of on fire. That's my description of the thing, which is truly awful. But it's looking at you curiously. It is not attacking, but it's also not stepping into the circle. And Gretchen now continues to sing, but she seems to be preparing some sort of bag.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm going to continue the perimeter and just try to, like, slowly make that circle around them and try to close them in. I'll do it slowly as they do things.
Well, Julia, let's be very clear about how this works. If you make a circle all the way around the circle that they've made, that keeps spirits out, right? So they...
Or in. Won't, I'm trying
to... Or
yeah.
in, but it won't be able to cross that perimeter. Do you understand? If you circle everything, it won't be able to get in to the place you're trying to trap it.
Right, that's why I just did a half circle. I'm trying to wait for it to enter.
Okay, I thought you were saying, now I'm completing it. Okay.
No, well, I'm trying to make my ray around them. I don't know how far away is it from us still.
It's pretty close now. No, it's within like 15 feet. Do you want to try to sneak around behind it?
Yeah, I want to slowly.
If you're doing that at the same time,
yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to activate my ghost fighter, but I'm going to go towards it to embrace it.
Okay.
Because what I'm thinking of is the guy that we fought on the ship, he summoned Dagathos, mm-hmm. From him. Right?
Eric was the guy's name.
Eric, yeah. So in my mind's eye, I'm almost thinking this isn't, you know, as the spirit said, to embrace fear. So I'm almost going to try and ingest this thing. I've seen its tendrils, I've seen what it can do, and what it does is it takes souls, meaning that it can also probably come in to the soul. And so, being the ghost dancer that I am, I'm going to try and have it embody me and kind of come in to me as the other spiritual shaman comes in, and also, you know, as I push it out as well to kind of pull it in a way. So...
Let's do first. Let's see if Juliet's, you know, trapping ploy works, and then we'll come to that, which I think is an incredible plan.
Love it.
So, Juliet, you're going to try to get around this thing and put the black salt around it so that it's sort of trapped within a smaller perimeter. And what action are you going to use to do that?
Okay, I'm going to assume that whatever I do for this is at a minus one, because I think, like, I'm not very inconspicuous or, like, as smooth with my movement right now from the blown-up condition.
I would say that that's fair.
Let's try... How about survey? Because I think it's something involving insight, because I am keeping an eye while doing this, trying to move when it's not paying attention to me and doing this and watching its movements and responding to that.
Right. It's like when you have an animal cornered, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's all about, like, reaction and, like, kind of gauging where its attention is, right? Yeah. And not moving too quickly and, like... So, I'll allow survey. And I'll say this. The consequence if you fail is that its attention will be on you in a attacking kind of a way. Right? That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And
I'm going to say that... So this is desperate, then?
No, because it won't automatically do you harm. Let's just call it risky.
Okay.
Let's call it risky. Risky, but for... Well, I mean, what do you want to call it? Like, standard effect.
Standard? Meaning, yeah, it would do the thing. Yeah.
All right, let's see how it goes.
All right, and so doesn't let me do... Oh, yeah, it does. Negative one die. Four. Success of the consequence.
Still a success.
Success with a consequence.
But still a success.
Yeah. Yeah, so the success means that you get all the way around it and you're like, there we go. It shouldn't be able to jump out of this circle, so you've at least penned it in now.
We're but trapped then, in with it.
Yeah, well, no. No, you're not, actually. You could run out of the black salt circle, no problem.
True.
But then you realize as you finish that this isn't a ghost, though. This is probably some sort of demon. And demons tend to be really powerful. They tend to be, you know, much higher tier than your crew a lot of the time.
Mm.
So the consequence, or rather, the consequence is... You think this wasn't quite enough black salt.
Okay.
Here's the consequence. You can have actually trapped this thing if your bandolier right now was all black salt and you emptied all of it.
You know I have two bandoliers, right?
Are you kidding me? You got two?
Yeah, that's what the tinkers are great.
But is each one loadout item?
Each one is one loadout item. Each one.
Both bandoliers were all black salt and you emptied all of them.
Both?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know that I can do this. Okay. All right.
You can resist it. You can resist that consequence, right?
Oh.
No. Yeah. You can.
The consequence is that this wasn't enough black salt?
That's right.
Okay, I'll resist it.
Okay.
I got special black salt.
I think I'm doing this right. You can resist
a
four or five consequence, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so what resistance do you want me to roll for that?
Insight, because you thought ahead somehow.
Yeah, okay.
Damn!
Six.
Damn.
Yeah. No. I mean, we've worked with a whisper. This is how we started. I know that I need more black salt to deal with something. We dealt with demons day one, first score.
Didn't even count on your loadout. You just brought a big bag of black salt with you, and the black salt, you haven't been leaving a little trail. You've been leaving a giant pile around the tree.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now let's go to Valkos, and keep in mind this thing's tier, Valkos.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so, as I say, like, I've got Ghost Fighter on. I've also got my my... So this is the thing. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw everything at it, right? Ghost Fighter. It's going to happen. So I'm going to have, you know, a potency against the supernatural, which will probably put me, what, to, like, less effect? Yeah?
Potency. Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. That right? helps, yeah.
To less effect, let's say. Then... As I'm coming towards
it... Wait, that doesn't bring you just down to less effect. You still have maybe no effect. Wait, you had Ghost Fighter. That brings you down one. And then what else did you have?
Well, it brings me up. So it brings them down to one tier, right? It brings them down one tier. Or brings me up like a tier, right?
Yeah, it brings you up like a tier.
Yeah.
So you're then, at tier two.
Yeah.
And Ghost Fighter brings you up to three.
Three. And I'm going to then, at the same time, I'm going to use my Battleborn ability. Right? Which is essentially expend special armor to push myself during a fight. Because what's going to happen is I am going to use my skirmish because it's like it is a hug. It is a brawl. It is a wrestle. And I think that's what is essentially is going to happen. I'm going to, you know, take off my, you know, and I don't know whether you can push yourself more than once through different abilities or whatnot, but I'm going to do that as well.
I mean, you gotta pay the stress each time, right?
Well, Battleborn, I get to expend my special armor. So that's essentially... So I gain the potency, and then now I'm pushing myself for better effect.
Okay, so the Battleborn, you push yourself, and you're pushing for more effect. Mm. And you're just expending armor to do that. Mm. And you want to also use stress to push.
No, because I think that I don't think you can push twice.
I don't think you can.
Yeah, so yeah, I think what I'm essentially doing ability, is yeah. I'm using my potency and my and just put my ability to push rather than using my stress.
Okay. And I think that takes you down to less effect at that point, actually.
Okay. Okay.
Does your ability say you push yourself to do it?
No, so with Ghost Fighter, you just imbue your hands. It's just an ability. Mm-hmm. And Battleborn is just, you know, take away the special.
And for anybody saying, Ghost Fighter, this is a demon, not a ghost. The rules of Ghost Fighter say the supernatural.
Supernatural.
Not just ghosts.
Yeah. So, okay. So if that puts me to less effect, then I'm going to use Skirmish. Is there
Would you like a devil's bargain?
Yes,
for,
I was going to say a devil's bargain for
to get you over that final hump to effect. Yep. Okay, the devil's bargain is that the devil's bargain is that if I've got to come up with something here, I think that. You automatically just take harm by even trying this.
Okay.
You take it now as you try it.
Okay, as I try it. Okay.
And it's a level 2 harm, burnt.
Okay.
All right, you're okay. Going for it.
I'm level for 2 it. Harm? Okay. Yep.
Let's do it. There's something I want
to... Oh, okay. If it's level 2, would that mean that it was level 3 or that it was...
No, it's level 2, so it goes down to level 1.
Even okay, brilliant. Thank you,
that's
thank you,
so
sir.
Good.
Okay, cool. Let's do it.
But this
I'm gonna roll skirmish for standard effect now, right? Risky
that's
for standard.
Right. Yep, that's right.
Come on, dice gods.
Come on.
Wait, what are you trying? Gods. Wait, I want to clarify one more thing. Yeah. What are you trying to do? You're trying to absorb it into yourself?
Yes. So the idea is that, is you know, when the spirit said to embrace fear, I'm coming at it erratically, almost like instinctively, impulsively. And the idea is that I'm going to embrace it and kind of try and force it on me. But as I'm trying to force it on me, the spirit is also going to pull it inside of me. So it isn't just on the surface. The spirit is also grabbing it to pull it inside. So we're both trying to pull it inside of me and use me as the vessel.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's like the shaman's ghost is leaving and creating
exactly.
a vacuum which will like
exactly.
That's beautiful. Okay. Yes, understood. The consequence if this fails is that you will take more harm. Okay. But it will be an incredible amount of harm, Valkos.
Of course.
It will be a level 3 need help harm.
Okay.
Which will hollow you out. It'll be a mental level 3 need help harm. Okay, let's go ahead and... Alden, did you have something you wanted to add?
I do, but I don't know if this is the time to do it, but...
Okay, it's up to you.
It involves a flashback.
Okay, go on.
Go for it.
Okay, sure. So I'll describe what this was, and you can tell me how much stress it costs me. Now, Valkos is saying that this is impulsive, but Alden has now been with these folks enough to know that they're Chaos agents, and he knows that Valkos is a vessel, and might be. And if there's one person in our group that's likely to engage with this thing, it's Valkos. So I want to have a flashback of me having a conference with, like, the Bear Tongues are just one of hundreds of tribal confederacies that exist in Severos, thousands, and several of them make their way to Irondale. And I want to meet with a shaman of the Wind Fox Warband, who comes from the north of Severos. The Wind Fox come from a more icier steppe of Severos, and worship the winds. They do like sky burial. They offer their dead up to the winds. The fox of the wind that whelps its pups in the clouds.
And Wind Fox, you said.
Yes, and shrieks down at night, yipping and howling in the wind. And in order to prepare for this evening, I want to listen to their tales, and I will have written Wind Fox prayers all over Valkos, like one of those Buddhist monks who's trying to keep out evil spirits. He is just head to toe. I have like chalked these prayers on him. And this is creating a spiritual coolant system, where when the fiery demon comes into him, the spirit of the Wind Fox will cool his blood and keep him from being burned alive.
I think that's totally awesome. Reasonable and awesome, and you can do it for 2 stress.
You got it.
Okay, so covered in this writing. Mm-hmm. Valkos, it's time to make that roll.
Does that give me an extra die?
It does. It at least does that.
Okay.
So just picture us back at the Steel Hoof. Valkos, he may be even eating something, and I'm just there like...
Yeah. I'm just listening to it. Yeah, beautiful.
Writing all this on.
Beautiful. Here we go.
What happened?
Did you anger the dice gods?
I think I did. I failed everything. I failed. I
got 4. Travis, dice luck is gone.
Oh no!
3.
Oh,
4 three. Dice. 1.
That's cool.
1.
That's not cool. That's not cool. That's not cool.
Abu.
That's not cool. I'm gonna resist anything you throw at me, sir. But go on.
Well, the consequence is that you take a level 3 harm, soul burned.
Would my spells there?
Resist for sure.
Can I resist that soul burn?
I let your skull give him an extra die.
I know.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Can I resist the soul burn?
You can. You can resist any consequence.
Okay.
But needless to say, your plan to absorb this thing didn't work.
No.
You resist it with resolve.
Okay.
No, wait, this was a skirmish?
It was a skirmish.
You resist it this time with prowess.
Okay. 5, so I got 1.
Okay,
so Valkos tries to meld with this thing, and it's like magnets of the wrong polarities hitting and sparking and bouncing off of each other, and there's sort of this spiritual kind of like explosion that happens, and the thing and Valkos are both blasted back away from each other, and Valkos, like, because you have just a little bit of it left in you, when you hit the invisible perimeter of the black salt that Juliet put up there, it's like you hit like an invisible wall, and the thing also hits the perimeter, and it's like, against an invisible wall. And Gretchen, it looks at all of you like, what are you doing? And the thing snarls and leaps at somebody. Let's see. One will be Gretchen. Two will be Alden. Three will be Valkos. Four will be Juliet. Right?
Surely
that's everybody.
Come at me, because I'm trapped in with it.
Well,
we're
whatever.
All in it right now.
Right.
We're all in the circle, yeah.
A five or six will be. Five or six. Let's see. I did get a five. Should have
the
decided.
The two you didn't assign.
Yeah, the two I didn't assign.
It misses us. That's what the five and six means.
That is what it means. Because I didn't assign that.
Great.
It's kind of deciding what it wants to do, and it finally does decide. It opens its mouth and releases those tendrils of flame again, and they start each going toward one of you. Four tendrils. So right now, each of you, like heat-seeking missiles, have tendrils of flame darting toward your head.
Yikes.
Okay. I'm not going to give up my tactic. So I'm going to, first of all, try and dodge the tendril to get closer to, again, for the next turn to do an embrace.
Okay, great. What action are you going
to
use?
So I think to dodge, I would be using finesse.
Finesse. Okay, that makes sense.
Prowl. Either one.
Yeah, I want everybody to roll for this at the same time.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
My friend Juliet, what are you going to do about this tendril that's coming at you?
I don't know how to deal with this stuff. I will use...
Damn it, I'm a scientist.
I know, I don't deal with ghosts. I guess I'll just try and, jump out of the way. God. Can I use skirmish for that?
It is kind of like a fighting, dancing. Roll, sure. You've
been a pit fighter.
Yeah, you've been a pit fighter. People throw punches. Absolutely, you can use skirmish. And Alden Sykes.
I see the thing shape, the Valkos and the beast explode off of each other. I'm like, all right, plan B. And I see the bag that Gretchen is opening up, and I am going to try to, with her, intercept this tendril with the bag and begin to, thinking that this is a arcane item.
A trappy bag.
Colloquially known as a trappy bag.
Yeah. And it actually, canonically... It is a trappy bag. Okay.
It's a trappy bag. And I'm trying to like get one little bit of it in there and begin the process of subsuming it in the trappy bag.
And what is that action?
Let's call that intercepting this thing with all that sounds like finesse to me.
Okay, yes, it does. Okay, so I'm going to say everybody is going to roll risky for standard effect, meaning you don't get hit. In Alden's case, you actually get a little bit of extra, right? Because you kind of like trap one of its tendrils, sort of. And
this is a moment where I'm going to use that Rook's Gambit special ability I took last time. So I'm going to take two more stress, bringing me perilously close to the end of my stress bar, so that I can instead roll my sway as my finesse.
Okay, excellent. Nicely done.
Push myself because I have -1 die, so I'm going to push myself just to not get a negative die.
That's a good idea. Okay, so here's the deal. The consequence if you fail is that those tendrils are going to hit you, and that paralyzes you. It makes things harder, right?
Okay.
Here we go.
Is that a harm?
It's not a harm. It will be like a kind of a condition going forward. Into this battle. So go ahead.
Oh my god, man.
I'm borrowing your luck for this episode.
You guys, what the fuck, people, man? All right, I got a five.
It's happening,
folks. And I got a six.
Oh!
Success. Success with a consequence. Valkos, you're able to dodge the tendril, but you're not able to really get in close. The thing is still like back and forthing with you in a way that is too dangerous, or you can't get your angle. Alden, you rolled a 6, right?
That's right.
Alden, you and Gretchen are rushing forward with the bag, and it's like the bag is just eating the tendril, and you're getting really close to the thing's head right now.
Mm-hmm.
Juliet, you managed to dodge the tendril, okay? So now the thing is going to make another move, and the move that it's going to make is that it's going to kind of like scream and try to get itself away from the bag. Okay, so this is something that Alden must do. And I'm also going to roll for Gretchen because she's helping with this.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not going to let you know what she rolled.
All right.
This thing is going to get loose from the bag unless you do something right now. What action are you going to use to kind of stay on it? If you roll really well, you might even get the bag farther, like over its head. But if you roll poorly, it's going to escape the bag.
Okay. Let's see. It seems like this is skirmish or maybe prowl, which is used for ambushes with close violence.
Yeah.
I'll do a prowl.
Great. So it is risky for standard effect.
Right, here we go.
Would you like to push to get great effect? Meaning that if you succeed, you will kind of like get this thing caught in the bag.
How much stress does a push take? 2?
2.
Mm-hmm.
2 maxes out my stress bar.
What? Oh, no, already?
Already.
I've
pushed myself. I've used my special ability. All
is
right.
This for you to get an extra die? Or
No, it's for great effect.
For great effect
rather than standard.
Can I assist to aid in effect?
You cannot. Gretchen is assisting, but not in a way that is really...
God, do I totally stress myself out and take another trauma right now?
No, man. Don't do it.
What's that? No, I don't think so. I'm going to go for standard. Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I failed. I rolled a 3.
It whips its head away. It turns around, spins around, snarling, and gets free of the bag. And then it looks at you all with those 4 eyes inside of its head. You can see intelligence in them. And then a voice inside of it says, "Eric." And then it goes,
"What the hell?"
Oh, no.
Vomits Eric. covered in fiery mucus out into the circle. And he falls down smiling in the fetal position, covered in its fiery ooze. And that's where we'll stop for today.
Oh my god.
Amazing. Okay. Oh my god. It's weird.
It is getting weird around here. Yeah, the monster can come out of Eric, or Eric can come out of the monster.
I thought we destroyed Eric. Maybe souls are united or something.
Their souls are united. Our souls are united in bringing you top-notch entertainment about monsters birthing guys. So be sure to tune in to our next episode. This is Haunted City on the Glass Cannon Network. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. For more podcasts and live streams, visit glasscannonnetwork.com. And for exclusive shows and content you can't find anywhere else, subscribe today at jointhenation.com.